Good afternoon. This is Valley Voices. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh, your host. Today's show features a press conference originally aired on Spirit Resistance Radio, broadcasting from the Sacred Stone Camp on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota. The press conference features Candy Mossett, who is a campaigner with the Indigenous Environmental Network, talking about the significance of some Native American sacred sites that were destroyed over the Labor Day weekend, in conjunction with a pipeline that Native Americans are resisting. The pipeline is being built by Dakota Access and crosses the tribe's treaty lands. Saturday's desecration came unexpectedly, and Candy Mossett tells why.
Hello, folks. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit Resistance Radio 87.9. We are here at the station, and I am Candy Mossett, Mandan Hidatsa Rikara. My earned name is Eagle Woman, and giving some updates to some press that are here at the camp because the story of yesterday is not being told accurately. And so I'm going to do this interview style and get some questions from the folks here that are at the camp. Our understanding is that the Standing Rock Sioux tribe filed that there are more sacred sites that were found. The private landowner that actually owns the land over there called the Tribal Historic Preservation Office, called the tribe and said, hey, Dakota Access knows that there's sacred sites out here and they're still planning on moving forward. You better get out here. And so the TIPO office went out there, the Tribal Historic Preservation Officers, and they started staking out the sacred sites with stakes where they knew that they were. And according to Tim Mintz, one of the TIPO officers, it's one of the biggest sacred sites that he's seen in the Midwest in I think either a very long time or in forever. It was a very, very, very significant cultural site. And so they filed Friday that, you know, you need to, they were going to file for a cease and desist. And we knew that Dakota Access and Energy Transfer Partners were not working on the weekends up until now. And so it being a holiday weekend, we figured we had a long weekend, we could get the cease and desist and stop them. So yesterday, people were watching out at the sites. We had scouts out there just, you know, watching activity. And the call went out, there's bulldozers coming. And we're like, how could they get from Highway 6 to Highway 1806 that quickly? Because we know that they've only been able to make about 11 miles a week. And they still had like 19 miles to go before they even got over there. So what we were told by our scouts was that they actually stopped digging by Highway 6 and skipped like a 15-mile swath of land, came directly over to Highway 6 where they knew the sacred sites were before the tribe could get a cease and desist, because once it's destroyed, it's destroyed. And what they can do is provide monetary payment to the tribe forever desecrating. And what we know is that there are actual burial sites that they found out there, and it's most likely a Rikara, the bones of my ancestors. There was arrowheads just laying turned up. All kinds of stuff was laying out there, just turned up when the bulldozers came. And so what happened yesterday was completely spontaneous. People saw it happening. They said, we need warriors on the front line. It wasn't planned by anyone. They just saw the bulldozers digging up the earth. And people yesterday weren't even exactly sure where the sites were. They just knew they were out there somewhere. So women pushed down the fence and jumped out there and jumped in front of the bulldozers, effectively stopping them. The bulldozers started going back to Highway 6. They took off. Some of them were even going backwards. But what happened was Dakota Access had their private security out there. And what's crazy is they were ready. They were ready for people to come. They had dogs on leashes, and they were holding the line with their dogs that were vicious. 12 people altogether were bitten by these dogs. One had to go to the hospital in Fort Yates. Up to 30 people were maced when they got pepper sprayed in their faces. And all of these things happened before any engagement. The police are saying that we were violent towards them. That's not the case. Dakota Access came and provoked us by coming and digging sacred sites that they knew were there. We went to stop them. They engaged us with their mace. The first thing they did was mace people. The second thing they did was start dropping people. The security, there's video video footage of them dropping people on the ground. They couldn't control their own dogs. One of the dogs got released into the crowd, started attacking people, started attacking horses. They had no control over their own animals. One of the security people even had their own dog turn on them. And then when that dog got released, that guy that was holding one of those dogs came into the crowd of women and men and some kids swinging, hitting. He was punching at people. So people naturally jumped on him to hold him down. And the cops are using that as that was something that we did. It was all them, all Dakota Access and their private security that did all of the provocation yesterday and intentionally came and destroyed sacred sites so that once they did finally get over here, they're thinking it would be a non-issue. And it angers me. It breaks my heart. And it's my ancestors that are out there now disturbed, and their spirits now disturbed. And some things started happening last night that we can't explain. People getting pushed back from some unknown things. And that's what happens when you disturb ancient burial sites. And so today, what we're doing is we're mobilizing a ceremony, a spirit march. And we're going with our medicines, and we're going to march from the middle barricade where the original protectors were when we first stopped the road being built. We're going to march from there to the site that was disturbed, not directly up to the sacred site. Our spiritual advisors have asked us not to go right out to where the site is, but to where it started being disturbed, to where the fence is down. We're going to go there, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask for healing for our ancestors that were disturbed. And we want to show why we're here, and that we were provoked by Dakota Access, not the other way around.
Quick question for you. These sites, did you guys know about them before, or are these new discoveries?
There are over 300 sacred sites in this corridor that we know of. What happened was, because it was private land and because there was easements and rights of ways and all that kind of thing, the tribal historic preservation officers previously were not allowed to go out there to survey the specific sites where this right of way, where this easement is on this private land. So they were just turning it over to the state historic preservation office. It was like we had our hands tied for our own sacred sites because of the way things go these days with private land and with easements and right of ways. But what happened was the landowner himself, he reached out. He realized that Dakota Access was not even looking into these sites, and he knew where they were on his land. He knew stuff was on his land, so he reached out to us and said, get your tribal historic preservation. I'm giving you permission to get out here on my land. And that happened Friday.
So this is new discovery?
This is new, this particular specific site. It was all staked out on Friday. Like, there was stakes out there that showed, and the bulldozers came and went right through the middle of where all those stakes were staked out.
So what happens now? I mean, the sacred site has been desecrated. What does that mean for the progress or the not progress of the pipeline?
That's what I said. My understanding with these companies is that once they do something like that, in my understanding, I could be wrong, I could get the information from legal team, but all they would have to do now is potentially have a monetary payment. There's nothing, I mean, the site is desecrated. So our point is that we need to continue to stop them, because what they did yesterday was remove topsoil. And what they want to do is still dig even further to lay the pipe. But in other places, like in Iowa, there were also sites that were identified. And so what these guys did was they went underneath the sites in other places, not understanding that that's not acceptable either. If you dig underneath the site, you've now broken the connection between the center of the earth and the top of the earth. That's also a disturbed area then. It's also disturbing that connection that we have. So I feel like no matter what, Dakota Access is out here to try to do what they're going to do, and yesterday proved that. They literally skipped over land to get to a sacred site to destroy it before we could stop them.
Let me ask you, what is the ultimate goal? Is there any way this pipeline could be built that would be acceptable and preserve your rights? Or does it have to just not be built at all?
Well, this is an environmental racism issue from the get-go. The original area where this was supposed to be bored under was north of Bismarck. And all of these folks in Bismarck raised a fuss the officials, you know, they were like, we can't build this north of Bismarck. So they rerouted to north of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe Reservation, north of the Cannonball River, and then it was passed. Oh, it's fine as long as you don't endanger the people in Bismarck, but it's already an environmental racism issue. And here's to answer your question. Do not bore underneath the Missouri River. Do not lay the Dakota Access Pipeline. You asked what the goal is. The goal is the same as Keystone XL. Shut it down. Stop this kind of desecration from happening. And it has. This is not just about one pipeline. This is about all of us as humanity protecting ourselves against what we're doing to ourselves. The fossil fuel industry is creating a climate chaos. It's not even a debate anymore. This is anthropogenic causes, human-induced causes, why we have methane and ethane emissions in the air, why our water is being contaminated. People say, oh, we need pipelines. It's ridiculous. You can't tell a Native American we need pipelines because we've lived for thousands of years without them. And only in the last 200 years since the Industrial Revolution have we seen climate chaos ensue. We have alternative solutions. You guys have been out here the past 2 days. You've seen how windy it is out here. We could be putting turbines out here, small scale distributed. We could be putting solar panels out here. We don't need to be doing these pipes. This Missouri River goes all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. You look at the flooding that's happening in Louisiana, the wildfires that were happening in California, all the heat waves in the Northeast. This is all connected and related. This is more than just a pipeline fight here against Dakota Access. The big picture is that Native Americans have been screaming this for over 500 years. Capitalism will be our own undoing. But it's just that more people are standing with us now. More people have seen the desecration and have seen what it's doing to kill us. So many people have cancers and asthmas. They're starting to see that it's connected to the fossil fuel industry. So what we need to do is to protect ourselves as humanity and not allow fossil fuel industries to continue. We want workers to have jobs. We want people to be able to pay their bills, but not at the risk of their own harm and health to their own families and to their own communities. This is why we're working on something called the Just Transition. You shut down any more new projects. Don't allow new pipelines. We got to be phasing out away from those.
You have a lot of support from other tribes here. I mean, it's amazing to me to see everyone come together like this. And this is such a peaceful setting. What does that mean for your fight against the pipeline?
It's certainly a historic moment. There hasn't been tribes gathered like this, you know, since the mid to late 1800s. This site that we're on right now camping, it's crazy that this came about right here. The historical significance, this is where tribes used to gather. This is a huge trade route. You can find shells from the ocean here. You can find things, and this is the geographic center of North America, you know, as far away as you can get from the ocean, because it was a huge trading site with the Mandan, my ancestors. And enemies used to come and camp right here where they could see each other, but they could still trade goods. And this happened a long time ago. Ma Detekoa, we used to meet here. And now we come together in a modern day way, 2016. We still have traditional enemies now that have come together, but in a good way. And a good way to stop something collectively that's harming us and destroying us. This is a historic moment that hasn't happened in decades. And people are here in prayer. And it's naturally formed into societies. You have the warrior societies that go out when they're ready. You have the prayer societies that are here in ceremony. You have the cooks, you know, taking care of the people and the logistics and the woodcutters. It's like an organic process of going back to how it was, but in a modern day way.
You're listening to Valley Voices, a press conference featuring Candy Mossett, a campaigner with the Indigenous Environmental Network, which originally aired Sunday, September 4th, on Spirit Resistance Radio, broadcasting from the Sacred Stone Camp on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation.
What do you think the chances are with President Obama leaving office this fall of pardoning Leonard Peltier?
I'm going to be positive and say that the chances are good because I just want to put it out there in the atmosphere that way. In my heart, I'm not sure because President Obama has said a lot of things that he was going to do for us, but not done a lot of things that he was going to do. It was really disappointing to me, the legacy that he chose to leave behind. And if there's one small thing that he could do that would gain at least some some bit of respect, at least from the Native community, it would be to pardon Leonard Peltier, who has served over 40 years for a crime he didn't commit, and he needs to be free.
I live downstream from here in central South Dakota on the Missouri River. I don't want this pipeline coming. What can white people like me do to support your efforts?
So we can go and we can sign the petitions, change.org/respectourwater, but respect is spelled with a Z. We get a million signatures. We can get the attention of the White House and President Obama. We can make phone calls to the White House and get President Obama on the line and say, you need to be paying attention to this issue. Even the United Nations is starting to recognize the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, but we haven't heard anything yet from our president. So I think the pressure should be on him. We heard some horrible news yesterday. The governor had, he lost his son yesterday.
The governor of North Dakota.
The governor of North Dakota. And so we're just right now, asking for prayers for him and his family. He certainly did declare the emergency here, the declaration of emergency, which caused the roadblock and caused the different things. And so we need to let him know that he needs to help do something in North Dakota here and change what he started to unravel by declaring that state, that declaration of emergency. But right now, obviously, I mean, we are all very mournful for him and his loss. But people can definitely go to the Facebook pages, No Dakota Access in Treaty Territory, to get information. People can go to Red Warrior Camp Facebook page and the Sacred Stone Camp Facebook page. All of those three pages have all of the links for legal support. What the police have done here is we started out with bonds of about $150 for misdemeanors. They're up to $1,000 a person now.
Misdemeanor?
The police has been very aggressive in upping the prices of bonding people out, so we're going to need more legal support, because people have said they're willing to go stand out there and put their bodies on the line, and they're going to need help getting bailed out. So we really need people to contribute, even if you contributed before, to the legal defense funds, which, again, Red Warrior Camp has a legal defense fund set up, and then Sacred Stone Camp has a legal defense fund set up, and the links are on both those Facebook pages. We're really going to need help with legal. And if there are lawyers that can support, I mean, it's crazy here. The team is just revolving, some people coming, some people going. Lawyers are really trying to help as much as they can, but they really need support themselves because of these things that happened, like yesterday, the provocation of the company coming out here and doing what they did. So we really need support in that way, too.
Can you talk about, would you be willing to talk about how you got involved in organizing?
I am from Fort Berthold, north of here. I'm Mandan Hidatsa Arikara, and I have an undergraduate degree in natural resource and park management, and I have a master's degree in environmental management. So I started working with the Indigenous Environmental Network in 2007, and I was working in tribal colleges on sustainability, working with students on, energy efficiency and things of that nature, and tree plantings and gardening and food sovereignty programs. And I worked with 33 tribal colleges across the country with the American Indian Higher Education Consortium. And so that was what I did when I first started out. But now I've been working at the United Nations level, the international level, trying to help institute the UNDRIP, the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which is recognized but not necessarily put into practice. And I'm fighting against fracking. This pipeline is an oil pipeline that comes from my reservation where they're fracking. It's not just what's happening with the pipeline, it's everything associated with it. When they frack up where they've been, they are flaring the natural gas, for one thing. This is different than Pennsylvania. There's no gas pipeline infrastructure, and so they've been flaring predominantly the natural gas into the atmosphere. All of that gas that could be used for energy is just going into our lungs and into the air, and they're digging for oil. disturbing sites. There's all kinds of wastewater injection sites, radioactive sites for how deep they have to dig down. Methane and ethane emissions have spiked here in North Dakota as a result of the fracking. This is all connected to this Dakota Access Pipeline. They also, a Paradigm company, bored underneath Lake Sakakawea with Sakakawea Pipeline July 17th and 18th. That already occurred. And so they are going to connect Sakakawea Pipeline to Dakota Access Pipeline, which a lot of people don't know or understand. That's Paradigm. And the unfortunate thing there is that the Mandan Hidatsa Rikra Tribal Council was originally in consultation and is a business partner with them, but then they changed their minds. Well, in the white man's world, you can't just change your mind once you sign contracts. So our tribe ordered a cease and desist against the Paradigm for putting that pipe under. Paradigm went around and now has sued our tribe for breach of contracts. And so that's a huge mess that's happening. I mean, tribes are in a position where it's like, you either give it to us or we're going to take it anyway. And I think that's how my leaders felt. I'm still very upset, angry with them for selling out. But the way they describe it to me is they were going to take it anyway. They were going to condemn land. So our tribe on December 2nd, the Mandan Hidatsa Rikra Nations, on December 2nd, 2015, did sign a resolution for a right-of-way across our Buffalo Ranch, our Figure 4 Ranch. They signed a 25-year lease with Dakota Access Pipeline to give them access to go across tribal land. What the chairman said to me is that it's fee land and they were going to condemn it.
Fee land.
Yeah, when you get up here, because of Indian allotment that happened in the late 1860s, 1880s, it's checkerboarded. So some land is tribal land, some land is trust land, and some land is fee patent land owned by a certain individual landowner, and they could be native or non-native, even if it's on the reservation. Mm-hmm. Well, this particular ranch is just off of the Fort Berthold Reservation, so our tribal councilman, Mark Fox, is really famous for saying, we never approved anything on the reservation, but they approved it on our ranch, which is tribally owned by us. They were also dragging their feet. If they would have got that turned into trust land, like they should have done, we wouldn't have been threatened with condemnation. So they made mistakes, and they need to own up to those mistakes, because Dakota Access would have never even got to this point in the first place if MHA Nations would have fought back harder up north. But
so there are layers of issues.
There are layers and layers, even where the starting point is here in North Dakota for Dakota Access. And then in Iowa, you have people that have been getting arrested. 2 days ago, 28 people got arrested in Iowa, one of them an 85-year-old grandmother, because they are now using eminent domain against the non-Native people, something that they hadn't ever experienced before. But as Natives, we have. Eminent domain's been used on us since the treaties. But now that the white landowners are having it happen, they're fighting back. They're fighting with us in Iowa. And now I'm hearing that people are stepping up in South Dakota now to fight back, because Dakota Access used a permit process. They didn't take the pipeline as a whole entire pipeline. They broke it into sections. And through using that process, they were able to get away without doing a full environmental impact statement. They just got little tiny environmental assessments that said nothing was going to be disturbed. There was no significant sacred sites. They got all this writing in writing from the Army Corps of Engineers because of that permit that they used, which was sneaky and backhanded in the first place. And so what the tribe here has been fighting for is a full environmental impact statement, a full ability to have access to the sites, to mark our cultural sites. That's what the injunction is about. That's why they had the hearing in D.C. August 24th or 26th, that day that it was in D.C. The judge pushed it off. He said he'd make a decision by September 9th. Now we're hearing that he's probably going to push it back even further. We're just hearing that from our lawyers, that he's probably going to push it back even further, and it's a tactic so that Dakota Access can do what they did yesterday. Energy Transfer Partners can do what they did yesterday. They can continue to build up to where they're trying to get the easement, which is under the Missouri River. That's what they're waiting for, is the easement. So that's why they're continuing to dig out there and remove sacred sites and desecrate sacred sites. And that's why they're pushing back these dates, because even though we stopped them from building the road to the water, they're still out here digging between Highway 6 and Highway 1806.
You've been listening to a press conference featuring Candy Moss, a campaigner with the Indigenous Environmental Network. This press conference was originally aired on Spirit Resistance Radio, broadcasting from the Sacred Stones Camp on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh. Thanks for listening.